Barb, Scott, and producer Jay back for another 15, 20 minutes of Sharing the Burden here live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Stouffville, help me put a meeting together so we can help all the people who need to share something to become free, you know, free in the mind, free in the body, free everywhere.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, it sure would. And you know what? The way this place is growing, it's appropriate too. And it would be amazing because we could probably tie it into Tuesday meetings of some type or other. Anyway, yeah, folks out there, you know, anyone who knows or senses the power in sharing, you know, find me and we'll get a meeting going. That doesn't mean you have to do everything. We'll get it going. And these meetings do take care of themselves. And I'm going to turn the mic over to Barb for a while, and you know, and I'm just going to say that we're working on a step that talks about the admission of powerlessness. We realize that, you know, not only powerless over something like an addiction, but true powerlessness, I think, is wherein lies the real freedom. Total powerlessness, you know, and we want anything. We better line ourselves up with something that has some power, and so on. So, Barb, in terms of your wealth of experience in the program, you've been around it for a while. I don't know if as long as I have, but probably close. And I don't mean that because of age-wise, but I know you've been around the 12 steps for some time. And you know where we're at, and you know what we've been talking about this morning with Peter and Raj supporting Peter and sharing the burden, supporting jailbirds and supporting each other and so on and so forth. But the whole context of stuff, when you look at powerlessness today, you know, in your own life, you know, what comes to mind? I mean, what do you think of when you think of step one, you know?
And how
answer
long
any
is
one
the
of
show?
Those parts.
Oh my goodness, that was a loaded question. You know, today, powerlessness, and you know, one of the things that you said there was, you know, it's not just about addiction. Because, you know, I think people, when they think of 12-step programs, they think of, you know, oh, it's an alcoholic or it's a drug addict, or, you know, there's 12-step programs for food addiction and, you know, sort of all the obvious issues in life that affect us on a personal level, that usually we are very harshly affecting the people around us. And that's usually what brings us to our knees, because the people around us either do an intervention or we come to some crisis point ourselves that makes us come to a realization that we need to do something. But, you know, when it comes to powerlessness, it exists in every single form in our life. And that is, to me, what I would love to, you know, talk to more people about, because so many people are walking around thinking that everything's hunky-dory and they've got their whole life under control, right? And yet they're so miserable inside, but they don't have a physical addiction to alcohol, or they don't have a drug problem, or, you know, they're not an overeater or any of those obvious things, right? But they are still so unhappy, so discontent, so out of it, and they find it difficult to share with anybody. So they believe they are all alone. Well, if that's not powerlessness, I don't know what is, you know. So again, to try and reach that audience, to me, is a huge, huge challenge. You know, the people in the jails, we know they've got issues. They know they have issues. Yeah. And they are so thankful that somebody from the outside will come in and share with them to give them some hope. But what about that person who's walking around with the job and maybe they're just trying to make ends meet and they're not able to, you know, and there's so many people under those circumstances in today's world, right? But they don't know where to go. They don't have any obvious problem, so to speak, and yet they're dying inside, and they don't know how to reach out. They don't know where to reach out to. You know, this powerlessness is a huge, huge issue. And again, you know, our society promotes us to think we are in control, right? It also promotes we have to have more, we have to have bigger, we have to have better. Mm-hmm. And all of that creates us feeling powerless because we can't possibly achieve any of that, right? And that leaves a society that is hopeless and depressed and fragile. And, you know, what do you do with that as a society? You know, where do you go? How do you deal with it? And how do you get that word out to that population that if each of us were just sharing from the heart and being vulnerable with each other? And, of course, that's a really... That's a very fearful place for a lot of people to go, right? But we're so full of judgment in our society that if we could just accept each other and say, you know what? I'm no better than you are because I certainly am not, you know? The things I want in my life, you know, it would be great to have more money, but you know what? For me, I really don't care if I have any more or not. I have a roof over my head. I have food on the table. And I have people around me who love me. What more can I ask for? That's a pretty good life, you know? Sure, I go into poor me sometimes, but it usually is because I go into compare mode. And that's where I always say to people, please don't compare yourself to anybody, because when you compare, you always compare to those who have more than you do. You never compare yourself to those who have less than you do, because if you did, you wouldn't go to compare mode. You would just be so grateful all of the time. Your life would be wonderful.
I just thought of something.
Good.
No, but as you were speaking there, you know, and we base everything on feelings, let's face it. I mean, you know, whether it's relationships, whether it's poor me or poor you or whatever, it's all to do with how I what's my perspective, and that's feelings, you know. Where are you at this way? Well, how do I feel right now? You know, everything comes down to feelings, and I think feelings really are simply manifestations of comparisons. Or the way that we receive, process, you know, share experience is all, the feelings have something to do with comparisons. And I think, wow, this is, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I said, you know,
that's a great comparison. That's a big thing, and I like that you used both comparison and experience, because again, it's about experiences, our experiences of life. And sometimes going to that place of wondering, well, why did I have to experience this in my life, right? I mean,
Poor me.
That's the, well, exactly. But that becomes the other great question of, we want to know why. Well, we're not supposed to know why, right?
If you really recognized your powerlessness, you would stop asking that.
Oh, there you go. That's a great point. I hope everybody was really paying attention to that. Because that is so true. But it is, it's the human psyche of going, well, why? You know, why did this happen? Or why me? You know, we talk about how, you know, how can we get a lawful society so we won't have the violence, et cetera, that we have in our world today, right? But, you know, and they say, well, put in the death penalty. Well, you know, is it a solution? Yeah, it could be. But you know what? I really don't think it's going to make that much difference, because the people who are doing that kind of a crime, they all walk around with, well, they won't catch me, and so there's, so you know, the consequence doesn't make any sense, because we all walk around with, you know, when you're a person who's out there drinking and driving, you go, well, I'm not going to get caught, it won't happen to me. right? That is the mindset that we as human beings walk around with. People who steal money, well, I won't get caught, right? It doesn't matter what the issue is. It won't happen to me, right? It's always somebody else. It's not me, because we are so self-centered. Right? Yeah. As individuals.
You know, another thing, Barbara, just thinking that, you know, the poor unknowing, or, you know, we could say, okay, I have a compulsion, an addiction, you know, a chronic this, a disorder, or whatever. I have something that pulls me down. It's something that I have to recognize as a problem so that I can work on something.
Absolutely.
The poor unknowing, the guy, the gal who doesn't have an addiction, doesn't know how they might qualify for some sort of regimen, some sort of protocol, some sort of therapy, you know? They are the real poor at heart, because they don't, you know, they really, they're in denial because no one's perfect, you know? But they can't help it. And people say, well, you're in denial. I said, well, how would I know if I'm in denial? Because I don't know.
Because denial isn't. Don't even know I'm lying, and that is to myself. I'm usually lying, right? Because that's what denial is. But when you speak of that, I automatically think of the spouse of an alcoholic who doesn't have a drinking problem. Because to me, they're hooked up with this person who's got this addiction.
Glaring.
Right? And it's glaring, is right. And they cannot see. And everybody around them, they don't see that there is an issue with that spouse either. They see them as a compassionate, forgiving, caring person. How can you put up with that crap? Blah, 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 blah. But the problem is that if you were healthy and had no issue, you would not put up with that nonsense. You'd be long gone. Right? You either dance together or you dance apart. You know, and that's probably one of the best, you know, analogies that I can give that. So if you are married to somebody who has an addiction and you're putting up with it, then you've got your own issues, because that's why you're there putting up with this other person's craziness. Right? You've got to be a little crazy yourself to say, I'm going to stay, right? Without putting boundaries in place. And boundaries are probably one of the issues that people don't like to look at, because boundaries usually means that you have to have a little bit of confrontation in your life. And of course, that's one of those words that most people really want to run from, because they don't like confrontation of any sense.
Confrontation and hurdles, you know, and people don't want them, man. And without them, you don't grow.
And the thing is, you know, we weren't promised that this life was going to be all roses and happiness, and because I've never learned anything in my life without either being hurt, being upset, having had to really work for it, right? I haven't gained anything in the easiness of my life, right? The only things I've ever gained from in my life are my tough times, my hard lessons, my devastations in life, poor health, you know, whatever it happens to be. But it hasn't been in the good times. It's always been in the challenging times, you know. And I and notice I use challenging, not hard. Because, you know, when I'm in them, they may feel hard. But I recognize today that, again, I'm just being challenged, which means, and for me, this is my hope, that means that I am in growth mode. Right?
And you're being offered opportunities from whomever, whatever you believe in, to get better, to get greater, to be able to have more to share, to be more available, vulnerable, and so on, you know.
I have many a time said in my prayers, okay, God, how much more do you want me to be able to share with others? So I'm not always gratefully accepting. I'll put it that way.
Another thought before we take another break here. The people in jail who, you know, you aptly described earlier as, you know, so happy or joyful because people care enough to come in there and have no agenda other than to listen, to be supportive, and to exhibit whatever needs to be exhibited such that people can feel that that's true.
Right.
You know, so that they really believe by the way they feel, if you will, because there's no bad vibes, hopefully, coming out of us unless we go in on a bad day or something. But I think we're training those people, and this kind of is part of a dream I have too, training those people to go and do outside what to date we're probably only able to do really well inside. So in other words, we go in there and knowing we're going to be out in an hour or two or whatever, they stay there. We leave them higher than they were when they came to the meeting, and we're higher than we were when we came to the meeting, but we got freedom. They're able to do that in an incarcerated atmosphere, and then to be able to take that out into real freedom later and to be able to share that with the people who are also free, you know, with that experience of having achieved it first in jail, man, that they can change society from a level that people just would not believe, you know. And I think we got to change from the bottom up. The top down just hasn't been working in this world. I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right, and that is so true. And that learning to share from the heart, and again, it's setting the example. Mm-hmm. You know, it's walking the walk. There's too many people out there that are really good at going blah, 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 right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They do a lot of talking, right? They really do. They do a lot of talking, but they don't walk out what they're talking about, right?
Tell us the blah, blah, blah me thing
and
again.
And the blah. And usually when I go blah, 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 I'm usually talking about blame. And so, you know, blame is blah, B-L-A, and then me. Because it's blah, 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 because it's still all about me. I'm busy blaming everybody else, but that's what blame is to me. Blah, 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 me.
Which is really, and folks, this is really why I'm right and you're wrong.
Exactly.
You know, and I have to point it out, and I have to do it in a social acceptable fashion. Jay, you better take us out of here. Give us a song or something.
I think we're going to play a song for Peter, and I know this is a song when we had Peter last on the show, he really enjoyed it, and it really speaks to, you know, sharing the burden, and, you know, Raj going down to visit Peter and pray for him. So here's Jackson 5, I'll Be There, going out to you, Peter. We're praying for you and wishing you all the best. Hope you get better soon, get home, and here you go. We'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.
Just call my name, and I'll be there.
I'll be there.
And oh, You should.